For your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking for anyone he can devour. Resist him, firm in the faith, knowing that the same kind of sufferings are being experienced by your fellow believers throughout the world. The God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, establish, and strengthen and support you after you have suffered a little while. To him be dominion forever. Amen. Through Silvanus, a faithful brother, as I consider him, I have written to you briefly in order to encourage you and to testify that this is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it. She who is in Babylon, chosen together with you, sends you greetings, as does Mark, my son. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to all who, peace to all of you who are in Christ. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, be strengthened by the Lord and by his vast strength. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this darkness, against evil spiritual forces in the heavens. For this reason, take up the full armor of God so that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having prepared everything, to take your stand. Stand, therefore, with truth, like a belt around your waist, righteousness, like armor on your chest, and your feet sandaled with the readiness for the gospel of peace. In every situation, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request, and stay alert with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. This is God's word.
Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Lord, we come before you, and we know, Lord, that we are in a spiritual battle, and we need to be sober and alert and vigilant. So we pray that you would open up our eyes, open up our ears, so that we can receive your word and apply it to our lives. Lord, we pray for your enlightenment and your encouragement, and that you would just fill us, those of us who are getting kind of low in spirit right now, fill us to overflowing, give us the power of the resurrection in our lives so that we can be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may have a seat. Everyone has a plan until they get punched in the face. You know who said that? All right, I'm Mike Tyson. Everyone has a plan until they get punched in the face. I don't know about you, but I've been feeling like I've been getting punched in the face lately. Like, I thought I had a plan in life. Like, okay, go to church, you know, got a wife, got kids, you know, just kind of hustle to make ends meet and just be a good person. And hopefully all the things that you're planning, everything's going to work out. And that's my plan in life. Right? Like, keep my nose clean, try hard, everything should work out, but all of a sudden you get punched in the face. You're like, oof, I wasn't ready for that, and my plan is not working out. And I know for a lot of you, because I read the prayer requests that you guys fill out, that a lot of us are getting punched in the face lately, unexpectedly. We thought we had a plan, we thought things were going well, and then you know, something happens, and it just kind of jolts us. We're like, man, I'm not ready for this. In fact, one of the gut punches recently happened on Thursday night. You guys know Kelly and Maya, who run the jiu-jitsu studio. They come here, and there's a handful of families that are involved in that jiu-jitsu studio that come here to church. And on Thursday night, I was going and picking up my son, and I pull up, and I saw fire trucks and ambulances. I'm like, yeah, my son took someone out, right? Like, maybe, like, oh, my son is doing, you know, he went Conor McGregor and someone. It's like, no. And I was thinking, okay, I hope no one really got hurt. You know, maybe it was like someone, you know, threw out their shoulder or, you know, a knee or something. And I walked in there, and I they were leaving when I was going. I walked in there, and everyone's quiet and silent and like, what's going on? And I was like, okay, hey, Stephen, you ready? And she was like, I was like, I'm picking you up. So he's like, so what happened was, after the time that they were wrestling and rolling around, they were doing the giving away the new stripes on their belts and stuff. One of the assistant instructors had a massive stroke and fell over and was unconscious. Kelly starts pumping on his chest, doing CPR. There happened to be another doctor. There was a doctor taking the class, and they started working on him. And they said that he was dead before he actually hit the ground. And there was like 30 or 40 people there, you know, half of them teenagers, and there's family involved. And the guy, his name is Pete, I don't know him, JJ knows him, and he has two little kids, I think 6 and 8, and it's just it's kind of terrible. I went in there, and one of the ladies who knows me, because she's been to our church, said, "Pastor, can you pray? Can you lead us in prayer?" I was like, "I don't even know what's happening." And well, we got together and we held hands and we cried out, and everyone was just crying out to God, and it was just this unity. And the thing was, like, half of those people weren't even believers or anything, but we're all in that moment, we're all unified together. I went back on Saturday, which is kind of their main class for adults. I went back there, and again, we knelt together, and we prayed, and we had a time of just praying together. But you know, it's one of these things where it feels like no matter what happens in life, there's always another thing that pops up, right? It's like you're playing whack-a-mole in life. You like you keep on, like, something pops up, and I was like, I got that one. Something else pops up, and you got this one. And all of a sudden, they just start popping up, and you keep on hitting the whack-a-mole, and you can't stop them all. It's like, why do you play whack-a-mole? Because you know that you can't stop. They're going to keep on coming. And sometimes that's what life feels like. And for me, I don't know if you are in that situation. I know that for me, it feels like that. It's like, okay, it's a relational issue. Well, I got that figured out. And then all of a sudden, there's a financial issue. Ah, and then I got the, you know, some family issues. I got some health issues. And the kids, like, something always pops up. And like, we're trying to ask, like, why? Why do you experience this? And for Christians, if you believe the Bible, the reason why we experience this is because you have an enemy against you, and that you, whether you like it or not, you have been drafted into a war. We call it a spiritual war. And we're involved in a spiritual battle. And so this is what we want to talk about today. And we're actually closing out our series in 1 Peter, Heirs and Exiles. And the last part of this series, this passage of scripture, the book of 1 Peter, Peter gives encouragement to the people who are going through a literal hell on earth. They're being persecuted by the Romans, people being killed and executed and crucified because of their faith. And he tells them, okay, you got to see behind the curtain to see the wizard pulling the strings, because you think it's the Roman emperor and all, that's your problem. It's like, no, look behind the curtain. There's someone else behind pulling the strings. Like, look under the, like, it's not just the whack-a-mole tables getting you. It's not just random stuff. There's an enemy. And he says, you be vigilant, be sober. You have an enemy, your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking anyone he may devour. So that's what the scriptures say. And so this is what I want to talk about. I want to talk about spiritual warfare. And I have a lot of content, so I'm just going to, I want you to, I mean, there's like a dozen fill in the blanks or more, I don't know. We're just going to try to get through as much of it. But the main thought is this. If you have your sermon notes, get a pen, fill this out. You could pick up one of those up there if you don't have one. There's a lot of useful information. So number one, this is the main thought. We're in a spiritual battle that we will lose if we are not prepared. That's the main thought of the whole thing. That you are in a spiritual battle whether you like it or not, and you are going to lose the battles if you're not prepared. Okay? That if you're not prepared, you're going to lose. Throughout this sermon, I'm going to quote, a famous Chinese guy by the name of Sun Tzu, right? And he wrote, I don't know, 800 years ago, the book called The Art of War, which is still used in the military academies today to train on military tactics. You know, they use it at Annapolis, at West Point, to train strategy for warfare. And this old general, Chinese general, he wrote this down. And there's some quotes here that I want to share with you. So this is Sun Tzu. There's a statue of him, a book called The Art of War. Some quotes here about warfare, okay? He says, "The greatest victory is that which requires no battle. The supreme art of war is to subdue the enemy without fighting. Supreme excellence consists of breaking the enemy's resistance without fighting." And I think Satan has a copy or two of Sun Tzu's book, you know, dog-eared and underlined, because this is his tactic. He's trying to win this battle with us without us even knowing that we're fighting. He's trying to subdue his enemy without even having to attack us. So, you know, Satan is described as this roaring lion, this deceiver, and he's a sucker puncher, right? If you don't know you're in a battle, if you don't know you're in a fight, you know, get ready. You're going to get sucker punched and you're going to be knocked out, and they're going to film you on YouTube, and it's going to be terrible, right? So that's what life, that's what fighting this battle is like. That we have this enemy who's trying, he's trying to get us, trying to beat us, and he's, if we don't know that we're in a battle, we're going to lose, right? So he's subduing us. We're not even resisting. We're not even fighting back because we're not prepared. We don't realize it. We think, oh, it's just life. It's just random stuff. It's not random. So here in this message, I want to give you four ways to prepare for the spiritual warfare ahead. So four ways. Some of it's going to come from 1 Peter. Some of it's going to come from Ephesians 6 and some other passages. So let's dig in, okay? How do you prepare for spiritual warfare? Number one, you got to know your enemy. You got to know your enemy. The Bible says that it says, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Okay? You gotta realize who the devil is. The Bible describes the devil. I mean, very specifically, the devil is not just evil, it's not just this evil force out there. The devil was an angel in heaven. He was number two in command, and he didn't want to be number two, he wanted to be number one, and he tried to overthrow God, and God cursed them and kicked them out of heaven, but guess where he sent them? He sent them to earth. Okay? So, but now, the reason why you have to realize why the devil is our enemy, he's this roaring lion, says that you have this enemy, is this. The reason why he's after us is because the devil hates God, and we are, human beings, are created in the image of God. God says, you guys are going to represent me. The devil doesn't like that. So the devil got mankind, it deceived mankind into sinning and rebelling against God. But the gospel teaches us that God loves us, even though we sinned. God sent his son to redeem us. And now God has given us a purpose and a plan and an assignment to glorify him. It says that, you know, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 10, it talks about that we are saved by grace through our faith. And it says that God, we are God's workmanship, his masterpieces, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. And he says that God has a plan for us. And Satan sees that God has loves us and he's redeemed us. He has a plan for us. It makes us targets now. He's like, you know what? I cannot take away their salvation, but I'm going to make sure that they don't achieve the purpose that God has for them. Okay, that's why we're targets. So you have to know. You have to know your enemy. He's not. He's not. He's cunning. He's crafty. He's a roaring lion seeking to devour you. Right? The Bible. Jesus says, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy you. But I've come to give you life." And he says, there's an enemy who wants to steal from you, wants to destroy your life, want to kill you. So you got to know your enemy. Okay? So that's number one. First, know your enemy. And then number two, let's see what Sun Tzu says about knowing your enemy. Okay? He says, if you know your enemy and know yourself, You need not fear the result of 100 battles. But if you know but not your enemy, for every victory gained, you will also suffer defeat. For if you neither know the enemy nor yourself, you will succumb to every battle. And he's saying, you got to first know, you got to know yourself and also know your enemy. So that's the first step, okay? Second step to prepare is not to be deceived. Do not be deceived. The Bible states very clearly that if we are in Christ, there's nothing Satan can do to snatch us out of God's hands. He knows that, right? But a lot of times we don't know that. And he tries to deceive us. Let's see what Ephesians chapter 6 says. He says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Okay? So you got to realize what the devil's trying to do is he is laying out schemes to get a hold of you. He's not just attacking you. He's setting up traps for you. Right? The word for scheme is the word for methodology in the original Greek. That he has these schemes, these traps to try to bring you down. And he's doing that through deception. Okay? Sun Tzu. Let's talk about Sun Tzu. Let's talk about what he says about deception. He says, all warfare is based on deception. Hence, when able to attack, you must seem unable. When using our forces, we must seem inactive. When we are near, we must make the enemy believe that we are far away. And when we are far away, we must make him believe that we are near. And that's what Satan tries to do. He's trying to deceive us. He's trying to show us, scare us into believing that he's stronger than he is. He wants to scare us into believing that we don't, you know, that God doesn't have a purpose for our lives, that we, you know, we can't win these battles. He wants to deceive us, okay? So let's talk about how this deception works. James chapter 1 verse 14 and 16. It says this. This is one of Satan's deceptions. This is how Satan gets us, okay? He says, each person is tempted when he is dragged away by their own evil desire and entice. So first off, we have these evil desires within us. It's called the flesh. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. And this is the one thing that you guys don't realize, that Satan, the reason why we lose a lot of battles is that Satan has an inside man. Right? He has a spy on the inside of us and a saboteur. It's called the flesh. It's called the sinful nature. It's called the old man, as in the New Testament calls it, these different ideas. It says the flesh, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And it's like, don't be deceived to think that all the evil stuff out there is the most dangerous stuff. He's like, no. You got to be careful because Satan has an inside man. And it says, that's how it begins. They're dragged away. It starts with their own evil desire and entice. It says, don't be deceived. This is how it works. So Satan's schemes, we're talking about schemes here. There are three aspects to Satan's schemes. Number one is this internal desire. So this is where it starts. It starts internal desire. I meet with a group of guys, and we've been talking about this. Especially those of you guys who come from a Catholic background, you guys heard of the seven deadly sins or the seven mortal sins. The word deadly, actually, that's taken out of context, because the word mortal means human. Right, so seven human sins. It's like that we all have these temptations within us, these desires, these human desires. You know, it's lust and greed and anger. What is it? Sloth, pride, envy. One more. Wrath. I said wrath. Anger. One more. I don't know. Gluttony. There we go. So those are starts with our internal desires. Okay. Then what happens is that Satan gives us an external opportunity. Hey, you want this? Guess what? I have it right over here. And that's the enemy of that. It's called the world. There's three enemies: the world, the flesh, the devil. He gives us this external opportunity, and then you're like, "Ooh, look at this thing! I really want it." And what you don't realize is it's a trap, right? Like Admiral Akbar says, "It's a trap," and it's because behind that opportunity, there's a hidden snare. There's a hidden snare. It's like when you dangle a worm on a hook for a fish, the fish says, "Hey, I'm hungry." That worm looks great. And when he goes after it, there's a snare, right? There's a hook, and he gets trapped, right? So you can't be deceived about how Satan gets you, how we lose the battle, because it's easy for us to put up our defenses against this external enemy, but then we don't realize that Satan's already used that Trojan horse to get his inside man in our lives all the way back into from the Garden of Eden. It's been there, right? The flesh has always been there. So you gotta, don't be deceived about how this works. He knows what you want. He knows if he puts it, all these things along the way, you're gonna stumble and you're gonna grab a hold of this thing and you're gonna get snared, right? But this is I forgot to put this verse up there. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 and 13, it talks about, it says, let me read it. I'm going to get it wrong if I don't read it from the scripture here. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It says this, 12 and 13, right? It says, "Now whoever thinks he stands must be careful not to fall." You might be thinking, "Hey, I'm doing fine because, I'm doing fine in my life. I don't have all these issues. I'm doing great. I'm going to church. I'm following God." Says, if you think you're standing well, be careful. Right? Must be careful not to fall. That's why later on in 1 Peter it says you must be humble. Right? Verse 13 says, "No temptation has come upon you except what is common to man or humanity. But God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation, he will also provide a way out so that you may be able to bear it or stand up under it." And the idea is that even though there's these schemes, there's always a way out. You might feel like you're trapped, and Satan might be whispering these ideas like, "Ah, man, look at you. Look how trapped. I got you. You can't get away. What if everyone knew? Like all those people in the church, what if they really knew what you've been up to? You're trapped. I got you. You can't, you know?" And don't allow that to deceive you, because the Bible tells us that with every temptation, God, he will not let us to be allow us to be tempted beyond what we can handle, what we can bear, but he'll always provide a way out. Okay, so that's number two. Don't be deceived. Satan might be a roaring lion, but he's not all powerful. We'll get to that in a little bit here. So number three. Be sober and alert. Be sober and alert. In 1 Peter, it says, you know, right before it says the devil is a roaring lion, it says, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion." It says, within this battle, if you're facing this battle, you have to stay sober. Right? Don't just be out there having a party, kicking back, and because, like, if you were to go to battle like that, you're going to lose. You have to be of sound mind. You have to have focus and clarity. Be alert. Be vigilant. Right? Why? Because, let's talk about Mr. Sun Tzu, what he says about this. Right, so he says, he tells people planning to attack others, right? This is what he says. He says, "Attack where your enemy is unprepared, appear where you are not expected. Be extremely subtle, even to the point of formlessness. Be extremely mysterious, even to the point of soundlessness. Thereby you can be the director of your opponent's fate." So this is what Satan's doing. Satan is Like he's hiding out like a ninja. He's sneaking up right next to you. He's setting up traps. You know, he's a sniper out there in the hills. He doesn't even, you don't even know he's there. He's being very subtle. And just when you think that you're, oh, everything going great. Oh, I've been going to church. Everything's going great. I got it all handled. And he's like, then you relax your guard. You're not alert. And that's when he gets you. Right? This is what Ephesians chapter 6 says. He says, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And it talks about, this is kind of how Satan attacks, okay? First, he sets up traps, right? If he doesn't lure us to get those traps, he stands in the back and he shoots these flaming darts, flaming arrows at us, and they're all around us. Right, like in that there's a line in that movie 300. Right, they're talking about the how do you fight against the Persian army? It's like their arrows darken the sky, and he's like, we shall fight in the shade. Right, we got these shields, we got to stay in it. If we got these shields up, it doesn't matter how many arrows they shoot at us. If we just stay under our shield, but if you're just walking around, right, and it's got your back turned, like you're exposed, you're not alert. So this, you got to be careful of the surprise attacks. So I'm going to give you four kind of unexpected surprise attacks that to prepare yourself for. Okay, and like my brother Lee right here, planning churches, we used to pray together every week, and we talked about this all the time about how Satan wants to get at us, and we talked about these how he attacks us, and. So there's four ways that Satan will give you a surprise attack. Okay? Write this down because you'll be able to spot them right when I tell you these categories. Okay? Unexpected attacks. The first unexpected attack is increased temptation. Right? Satan knows that he can't get you to just quit and walk away from God and walk away from your calling. But guess what he'll do? He'll increase that temptation. That thing that your heart wants the most, he'll put opportunities all along the road for you to see it, and you're like, oh, he just ramps that up, okay? And I see this all the time, especially with people who want to make a change in their life. Like, say, you know, you're doing fine, and nothing crazy has been happening in your life. All of a sudden, God does something in your life, and you're saying, you know what, God, I'm going to start to live for you. I'm going to start to serve you. All of a sudden, he gets a target on his back, and you see all these increased temptation that he's never felt before. Why? You think, oh, it might be random. It's like, no, it is a sneak attack, and you need to be aware of it. So that's number one. Number two, relational conflict. Relational conflict. I guarantee you, right before you're about to go and do something good for God, you're going to get into an argument with your spouse. I guarantee you. Always happens. Or you're going to get an argument with your parents or your siblings or your coworker. Something happens. The reason why is it's a diversionary tactic because Satan knows. He knows what's going on. He knows that you're prepared, that you're saying, yes, God, I'm going to go and I'm going to serve the poor. I'm going to go share the gospel with this person. I'm going to go and do this thing. I'm going to make this change in my life. And all of a sudden, he starts causing up issues around you. But you don't realize that that's an attack because you're like, oh man, what's wrong with that person? What's wrong with... But it's an attack. And I'll show you two more. Irrational fear. Irrational fears. You start to have these fears and anxieties every time when you're trying to do something good for God. Like, you start asking these questions. What if? What if God doesn't come through? What if God doesn't answer my prayer? What if these people think I'm dumb? What if they reject me? And you start to fear things that you've never felt before. What if I lose my job? What if, what if? And you start to have this fear for no reason, something that you've never feared before, and you start to dwell on it. Why? Because Satan's whispering into your ear, hey, what if God doesn't come through for you? You're going to step out of the boat, and what if he doesn't let you walk on water and you're going to drown? You're like, oh my goodness, and you start to be afraid. And then the fourth one, which may be the most devious of them all, is life nuisances. Life nuisances. So if Satan can't get you to quit, he'll just distract you and discourage you. Like, I remember when we were planting our church in Long Beach, the week before we did our grand opening, I had 3 flat tires. Never had a flat tire before. 3 flat tires in the same week. It's like, what the heck? And I was just getting frustrated because I had to go. It's like, oh, we got to go prepare this and got to get the, you know, all these equipment ready. We're, you know, passing out flyers. And it's like, oh, I got to go take my car into the thing. And I come back and the next day, another nail in, like, what the heck? Right? And I thought it was just me, so I started talking, right? So me and Lee, we used to pray. He's a pastor. Like, Lee and his team, they had like 3 car accidents in the week when they were starting to gather and do prayer in the neighborhood. It's like, what's going on? And we started talking, like, well, hey, this is not just random, but it's spiritual. Because this is what you got to realize. If it is true that this is spiritual attack, the Bible says, for our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces of evil. If you look at these things as just normal, ordinary things that happen in life, you're going to handle it in the flesh, in your own power, and in your own strength. Right? But the Bible says we do not battle against flesh and blood. It is not a flesh and blood battle. It is a spiritual battle. And for a spiritual battle, for you to win spiritual war, you got to have a spiritual response. Put on the armor. Get your shield of faith. Pick up that sword of the Spirit. Pray without ceasing. Right? A lot of times that the reason why we lose these spiritual battles is that we handle these spiritual battles with human resources. And we'll lose every time. Does that make sense? Okay. Stay alert. Stay alert. Stay sober. And then number 4, stand with confidence. Stand with confidence. It's kind of interesting. In all the descriptions of spiritual warfare, it never tells us to fight. It only tells us to stand. Because we have someone who has already fought for us. And he's already won. And all he's doing, he's saying, just stand. I just want you to stand. Because I've already fought for you. I've already won. And he says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. It's like, don't be strong in yourself. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. And it says, all you got to do is just armor up. Put on the full armor of God. So what? You can take your stand. Just stand there. Right? Against the devil's schemes. That you may be able to stand your ground. And then verse 14 says, stand firm. And he just tells us, just stand there in confidence. It's like, you don't even have to fight back. Just stand there. And he's talking about just stand there confidently. It says, resist the devil and he shall flee from you. You don't have to actually have to fight because there has been one who has already fought for you and won. Okay, so we get to stand confidently. So let's see what Sun Tzu says about this confidence, right? About, he says, every battle is won before it is fought. You got to realize that. That the battle that you're experiencing has already been determined. It says, victorious warriors win first and then go into war, while defeated warriors go to war first and then seek to win. And it says, you got to have this mindset of victory. That victory is already assured, and you got to stand there with confidence. And you don't have to worry about, like, if you have this view of confidence that God, that Jesus has already won. So I'm going to give you 4 reasons, 4 sources for your confidence. And there's a bunch of scriptures, and I'm probably have to skip some because I'm running out of time. But our source of confidence, number 1, all right, is God's love. Why can you just have confidence? Number 1, God's love. Let's see what Romans chapter 8 says. He says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Like, no. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. It's like nothing's going to separate us from God's love, and it's through his love we're conquerors. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor the present, nor the future, like, nor any powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So why can we stand? Our source of confidence is God's love. God's love. That's the one thing that you could be sure about. Okay? You can't be sure about your own confidence, or, you know, your own strength, or your own decision making. You could be confident in God's love for you. Number two, second source of our confidence is Jesus' death for us. We are confident because Jesus died for us. This is what it says in 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15 is a passage that we talk about before communion. It says, you know, I pass on to you what I received, that the Lord Jesus, you know, he died on the cross, and just as it was prophesied, and we remember it during communion. So this passage, this is what it says, talking about Jesus' death. He says, because Jesus has died, he has conquered death. He died and he rose again and he conquered death. His death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? And he's mocking death because Satan thought he had the secret weapon to get us, which was called death. Not just physical death, but spiritual death. Right? Spiritual death, separation from God, punished in hell. And he's like, ha, if I get these people to rebel against God, they're gonna fall into spiritual death, and I got them. But Jesus died on the cross for our sins, was buried, and then he rose from the dead, and he says, where, O death, is your victory? Right? All the punishment that was on the people for their sin was placed on Jesus, and he died for us so that we can have the victory. And it says this, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is in the law. But thanks be to God, because he gives us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm, let nothing move you. That you can have confidence, not because of your own strength, you could be confident because of God's love and Jesus' death. Because Jesus died, you can stand firm and not be moved. Number three, third source of confidence is not just God's love, not just Jesus' death, but God's promised protection upon his people. Okay, this is a long passage of scripture, but I'm going to read the whole thing. Psalm 91. Let me tell you this, okay? When you're down and you feel alone and you feel defeated, I want you to pull out Psalm 91 and read it. Right? It's going to encourage your soul. I mean, this is my go-to thing when I feel defeated, and I just listen to God's promises in Psalm 91. Psalm 91 says this, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. First off, he says, dwells in the shelter. Dwells means I live there. I'm not just coming for a visit. I live there. That's my address. I live in God's shelter. He says, he will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Like, do you imagine God standing there as a strong, powerful warrior? And he's casting a shadow. And it says, you need to be close to him that you're under his shadow. That's how close you need to be. And if you're in his shadow, he's going to protect you. He says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. If you say, the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. It doesn't say you will not be harmed. That's not what it says. We get bloody and bruised all the time. It says it will not take you out. It will not overtake you. Okay? It's not saying that being a Christian doesn't mean that we don't go through ups and downs. We will. But it says that you can still have your assurance in God's protection. It will not overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion Right? The lion who's roaring, you're going to stomp his head. And on the cobra, the serpent of old, you're going to stomp on him. You will trample the great lion and the serpent because he loves me, says the Lord. This is God saying, because you love me, I will rescue him. I will rescue you. I will protect you, for you acknowledge my name. He will call on me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. And with long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. It's God's promise. It's God's promise for us. Right? So when we're low, you just got to think about God's promise. Like, well, our source of confidence is not just what's happening, what we see in front of us, but it's the promise of the Savior who died to redeem us. Lastly, source of confidence is our assured victory. Our assured victory. How many of you guys have ever heard of Armageddon? You guys ever heard of that? What's Armageddon, right? It's like the final battle. It's like, you know, books have been written about it. Satan's going to line up in the book of Revelation. Satan and all his forces is going to line up on one side. And Jesus coming down on a white horse is going to ride up on this side. And they're going to go, you know, battle head to head. The final battle in all eternity, right? Did you know? Like, that battle is like the worst pay-per-view fight that you ever paid for, because it lasts like 3 seconds, right? The final battle, this is how the Bible describes the final battle. In only one verse, Jesus takes Satan out, right? Revelation 19 and 20. It says, then I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to wage war against the rider on the horse and his army. Satan has his posse, his crew. They're going to face up against Jesus on his horse, right? It says, but the beast was captured. That's it. That's Armageddon. But the beast was captured, right? And it says, and the two of them, talking about the beast and the false prophet, they were both captured. The two of them were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur, the lake of fire. That's it. That's how the ultimate battle is going to end. He's going to line up to Jesus, and Jesus is like, okay, I'm done with you. Drops him into the lake of fire. You're done. Then they have a worship service. That's our victory that's assured, okay? That's our victory that's assured. That's the reason why we can stand with confidence. God's love, Jesus' death, promised protection, assured victory. So let me kind of bring this and wrap this all up. We're in a spiritual battle, and we're going to lose if we're not prepared. How do we prepare? Know your enemy. Do not be deceived. Be sober. Stay sober and alert. Stand with confidence. The issue is this. What is at stake if we ignore these things? What's at stake? And it's not just our experience and God's plan for our life, but it's our legacy, our children, our family that don't know Jesus, our neighbors, our neighborhood, our community, our country. And it's the glory of God that's at stake. Right? So it's not just about us getting all the things and having this life that we want. But what is at stake is bigger than you. So stay alert. Stay sober. Because the devil, your enemy, is prowling around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Let's pray that he doesn't devour you and take away the legacy and the plan Jesus has for you. Closing thought. The closing thought is this, very simply. The reason why we can stand with confidence is because the death of Jesus' death, has already secured our victory. Jesus died on the cross, and because that, he rose from the dead, and because of that, we have victory. Where, O death, is thy victory? Where, O death, is thy sting? Stand firm. Let's pray. Lord, we just want to come before you, and we acknowledge that life is not easy, and we acknowledge that things don't ever turn out the way we want them to turn out. Lord, we know that's because we have an enemy, Lord, an enemy that will overpower us, an enemy that's too strong, too smart, too conniving for us. And we pray, Lord, that you would give us the strength, give us the insight and the wisdom, Lord, to be able to stand firm on that day. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.